Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Happy New Year. It's quite a while since we met last year. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for the day and the gift of life. We thank you for this opportunity you've given us. You've given us life to see 2018. Forgive us where we have sinned against you, where we've fallen short of your glory. Forgive me. Wash us with your blood. Cleanse us, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we will be continuing on the theme that we started last Sunday, which was hope for a new year or hope for a new season. And we'll take key readings from the book of Numbers. If you could open Numbers chapter 13 and also chapter 14. So last Sunday we looked at the question of a year. We were asking ourselves, we've come to the end of the year, but what does this mean? And so we went to Genesis and saw that God had ordained very early in the beginning, after the creation of the sun, the moon, and the stars, and he explained why those were had been created. And we saw for times, for seasons, for days, and for years, and God said that was good. And so we looked at some lessons we could learn about why God put a year in place, and we saw one of them was as a frame of reference within which we should commemorate certain events, spiritual events. We saw that in the Old Testament and also in our times. Secondly, as a period within which particular activities should be undertaken, seasons, times, you plant, you sow, you reap, you have to do it at the right time. But then we also saw that the year was also a period following which stewardship would be measured. And in most activities in life, at the end of a year, we measure achievement. And thinking about it, we saw governments, companies, even schools, you know, year one, year two, year three. The year is a reasonable time within which God can allow you to look at what you have achieved, okay? If it was a shorter period, maybe something could have gotten in the way of your achievement. But after 1 year, you can't keep telling your boss, you know, every day I've been late. You know, it's some other excuse. It's probably a different problem. A year is a reasonable period within which, if you're a good worker, a good steward, that stewardship can be clearly seen. So it's fair. And then we also saw as a measure to help us number our days on the earth, because we don't have unlimited time. This is not our permanent home. And so we should be measured in terms of the things that we do on earth. So we are now looking forward. A new year is ahead of us. If God is gracious and kind to us and gives us life in 2018, what should we do with this time? So going to the book of Numbers and reading from chapter 13, from verse 1, we'll skip some verses for the sake of time. It says in verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all those men that were heads of the children of Israel, and these were their names." And so they go through their names, of the tribe of Reuben, of the tribe of Simeon. Verse 6, "Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, then of the tribe of Issachar, and then verse 8, "Of the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun, but we know him more commonly as Joshua. Okay, so I've singled out those two because of what obviously transpires later. So we are given the representative of the tribe of Benjamin, Zebulun, Joseph, Dan, Asher, Naphtali, Gad. And verse 16, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, who? Joshua or Jehoshua, okay? A special name in a biblical context, okay? Verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, and whether they be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land, bring it. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as the men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from there. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we come unto the land whither thou sentest us. We came unto the land whither thou sentest us. And surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in that land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land, though through which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So what are the lessons here? God has promised Israel a land and an inheritance, okay? And it is now the time to possess it. 2018 may be the time for us to possess something. Okay? Now, there was no dispute about that. Okay? God had given them a place which was blessed. It was true, the land was good, and they actually went to the land, they saw the land, they saw the figs, they saw the evidence of the goodness and brought it back. There was no dispute about that. But then, of the 12 that went, the majority begin to incite discouragement. Okay? So, in 2018, I don't know what God has for you, particularly. A message like this goes out to everyone. Okay? You know, like the parable of the sower. The sower went out to sow seed. Some seed falls in certain type of ground. At the end of the day, there will be some fruit, some much, some not so much, some little, and some none. So I don't know what God has for you in 2018. Whether it's your marriage, 2018, your career, a call to ministry, whatever it is, you are to start a new business, that is what God may have for you. Okay? So Joshua and Caleb, two of the ten, take a different view. And let's look carefully what Caleb says here. He says in verse 30, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once.'" For him, there was no issue. The issue is, in spite of what these others are saying, we are going and we should go when? Now. And do what? And possess it. For we, the question is, who is the we? Who was the we in this case? It was Israel. And who was Israel? A nation chosen of God. They were not the same. You as a Christian are not the same as an unbeliever. You are not the same. Okay? You need to know it. God has special things that he does for us. Special rules that he sets aside for our favor. I've seen this as a testimony. I've seen this many times in my own life. So the question for us as Christians is, do we realize this? Do we understand this? Okay? So Caleb was not speaking about his own physical strength. He uses the word we. You are a child of God, and so God has certain things that he's going to do, certain instances where he's going to stand for you. So he also says, in this context, where these children of Israel were, they had come from a particular place. They had come from Egypt. Okay? In Egypt, Israel saw what God did to bring deliverance to Israel. They had been slaves. They had been in bondage. And Moses rises up. God uses Moses. You see the plagues, and at the end of the day, Pharaoh, after the death of the firstborn, Israel is set free. God parts the Red Sea, and Israel is on a journey to the Promised Land. Now, in our lives as Christians, there are things God has done in the past. There are things God has done for you in the past. You prayed, you trusted God, and he did something. When you have got a challenge ahead of you, it's so important in the Christian life to look back to what God has done. And you say, surely, the God who did X cannot leave me alone today. Okay? We must look back at the things God has done. In the Christian life, it doesn't have to be a big thing. I remember as a young Christian at Macquarie College, in the Christian fellowship, people were encouraged to give testimonies. Okay? And I remember one girl was mentioned as having always prayed, said, coming to give a testimony. I prayed for God to give me a watch. And God gave me a watch. And I think she repeated that testimony a couple of times. Maybe she prayed a number of times for watches. And so I think people gave her the name Sister Watches. Sister Watches today is a doctor. Okay? I think she lives in the U.S. So my point is this. God takes you at the level where you start. All we need is faith as big as a what? Mustard seed to move what? Mountain. Okay? So faith and what God has done in the past is very important for us as we look ahead to 2018. And so let's move on to Numbers chapter 14, and we read from verse 1 to verse 10. And it says there, Numbers 14, chapter 1, verse 1. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let's return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them which searched the land, rent their clothes. They were so angered or distraught at what they were seeing happening before them. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with what? Milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord. Don't rebel. Neither what? Fear ye the people of the land. For they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us, fear them not. But then instead, the congregation bade, it says the congregation bade to stone them with stones. But God intervenes, it says the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle before all the children of Israel. The battles or challenges that we face in the Christian life will be fought, and one of the weapons we must use is faith. The other thing we see here is murmuring, complaining, and Israel did a lot of that on this journey. But we know in Proverbs 18, verse 21, it tells us what? Death and life are in the what? The power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What are you saying about your 2018? You know, oh, last year I was not successful. Again, this year, you know, we can't get this. I can't. Hold it before you speak. Okay? Complaining where you are at your workplace, complaining about the church, complaining about 2018, let's leave that aside. The other thing that we see here is that some of them said, wouldn't it have been better if God had let us go back to Egypt? There is the place they should be. There is a place where they are, and there is a place where they are coming from. So in 2018, will you remain where you are? Will you go back to where you are coming from, a place of bondage? You say, I'm tired of the Christian life. I'm going back. The Christian life is too hard, too many rules, this, that. I'm going back. You stop coming to church, we no longer see you. And then there's a place where you should be, where your blessing is. So, the key lessons God has promised, the Bible teaches, in particular from this journey Israel has going to the promised land. Some people say it could have been a matter of days moving from Egypt to the promised land. But God takes them through this path, and they go round in circles, and they go through a long experience. But what was God's objective with Israel? Yes, God chose Israel. He appears to Abraham then and gives a promise. Okay, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then we saw in Genesis the 12 tribes. Okay, so God had for Israel a spiritual mission, in which Israel was going to bless the earth as a nation. But he also had on that, as part of that package, Israel was going to inherit something physical. Okay? The 12 tribes were going to inherit physical possession. Land, houses, this, that, and the other. It's all clearly mentioned. So if we look at Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 5, God says something there, or points something there about Israel and the other nations. He says, it's not for your righteousness or for your uprightness of heart that you go and possess the land of the other nations, but for the what? Wickedness of those nations, that the Lord is going to drive them out from before you, that he may perform the word which he sware to who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So there was wickedness which God wanted to deal with, and wicked nations were occupying and were around that land, and God had to deal with that. In Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3, we see God saying, if we can read together, "Now the Lord said unto Abraham, Get out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, and to a land that I will show you. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth," all of us, Ugandans, Kenyans, Malaysians, we shall all be blessed. So God was doing a work that would bless the entire earth spiritually. What else do we see about the spiritual aspect of that movement to the promised land? If you look at Exodus 19, verses 3 to 6, in terms of what Israel was to be, it says, "And Moses went up to God, and the Lord God called him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation." So Israel was to be a what? A kingdom of priests and a nation known for holiness throughout the earth. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. So this movement to the promised land, this relationship God had for Israel was for a spiritual purpose, for Israel to stand out as a nation, holy, and for all the nations of the earth to be blessed, which came through later, down the generations, eventually coming to Christ, who redeems us with his own blood. What else can we learn? We have an inheritance to obtain. So aside from our spiritual calling on earth, we have an inheritance on earth to obtain. Okay? A spiritual and a physical inheritance. But on the spiritual part, let's look at that first. In Psalm 2:8, it says what? "Ask of me, and I shall give thee, the heathen, for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." And in Matthew 9, 37 and 38, "Then saith he to his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth what? Laborers into his harvest." God's ultimate objective is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of God and have a relationship with him. There are many such people around us, outside here, on the streets, in different nations. The harvest is truly plenteous. That's the inheritance. That's the work, as we saw last Sunday in Luke 19, in the parable of the steward. Okay? The spiritual work that we are given as Christians, are we contributing to bringing the souls in? Okay? Or are we comfortable where we are? So we have a spiritual work to do. But that is described as an inheritance. Okay? The other thing that we see is, yes, in spite of the fact that there will be a spiritual inheritance and a physical inheritance, there may be trials, obstacles, challenges, hindrances. Okay? So 2018, you or me may have something to achieve, but we may have to get to contend with trials, obstacles, challenges, and other hindrances, spiritual or physical. And we must be able to fight to overcome these things. Okay? In the old days, unlike today when people are fighting a war, I'm not a soldier, but I marvel at the olden day fighting. The olden day fighting required a lot of courage. Today, now you can fight from a distance. You can fire a gun from a distance. In those days, you had to meet the enemy face to face and knife him. Or he, who did that first? Okay? These days, I was following. In the US, you know drones? Drones, you've heard of the drones. The drones are flown from maybe a computer somewhere in the US. You don't need much courage to do that. It's just like playing a computer game. But here, Israel had to, yes, they were the chosen people. God could have done a miracle, but they had to fight. It took what? Courage. So at your workplace, there could be a challenge 2018. It may require courage to withstand it and overcome it. Okay? So, one question which I had when I was reading this years ago was, why then did God take Israel round and round and round in the wilderness? Why does God take us through these challenges? Why can't he just make it a smooth journey for us? Because after all, we are what? We are born again. Why? So if we look at Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2, it says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." To do what? To humble you and to prove or test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. But then when I read that, it sounded a bit contradictory because God knows what? Everything. God is omniscient. So why is God saying that he wanted to know what was in? He already knew it. Who was this test for? It was for the benefit of Israel, the people. Because if God came and told you, you know, you man, you are proud. What is it? Well, you put a defense and no. I don't think so. But the test is the one that brings out your true what? Character. It is that character God wanted to work on so that Israel is purified before they take their inheritance. So are there things we need to work on spiritually? Me and you, 2018. Are there things? Because we know them. Okay? We know them. The other thing we can see from this is we need to remain focused. Okay? The 10 spies who put their focus on the enemy proposed stay here or go back. The 2 who put their focus on God and who God says he is and who God is said, no, we go forward and we go forward now. Let's go and possess it at once. So, as we saw last week, we saw the concept that God gives us time on this earth, and expects us to, as we saw in Luke 19, verse 13, to occupy until he returns. Be busy. Do something. Have something that you are doing as part of your stay on earth. You have a spiritual mission, but also on a day-to-day basis, you will be doing something as part of your trade, your profession, or whatever it may be. So in 2018, there will be different priorities for each of us on our journey to the promised land. God has a promised land for each of us. Okay? And 2018 is one time period on that journey. So for some, 2018 may be the year for you to start certain things. To start. A year to start. Okay? Start a course of study. Start a business. Start your ministry. Just a year to start. For others, this may be the year when you are going to achieve your final victory after many years of struggle. When I was studying after A-level, I went to study a particular course, which was very difficult in those days because we had no colleges where we could learn the subject well. We had no lecturers. We had no books. So it was a very difficult struggle. But eventually, there was a year which came when I was going to finish after many years of struggle. So for some of you, that 2018 is that year. Don't give up in this year. You may have seen people who, after years of hard work, abandon something they could have just achieved. So 2018, don't give up. For others, it may be a year to resurrect something which had stalled. Okay? You may have seen somebody has an idea, a plan to start a business, a plan to start something, buys even assets for it, and then they keep them in the store. 1 year passes, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the dream disappears. This year may be the year for you to resurrect that dream. Okay? Because if you don't do it, someone else may take it, may take the opportunity. Okay? So where you are at, I don't know individually where you are at, but some of these things may be relevant to you. 2018 may be the year for you to believe God for what you thought was impossible for you. You may have thought, no, it is not possible. I cannot manage the study for medical school. You are doing PCB. You are in A-level. I cannot manage. Medicine is too hard. Okay? Let me do agriculture. Let me do whatever which you feel is easier for you. 2018, you believe God. Come to God with what you have. The feeding of 5,000 started with what? A boy who had what? That's all he had. That's what he had. That's what he brought. You bring what you have to the table. God, this is what I have. Okay? The rest, you do the rest. Because I want to trust you for this. But don't put barriers. We have young people in the church. Many people are young, and so the older people, maybe we focus on the young people. Many times at the stage of marriage, people have issues. But don't make a problem for God as well. You say, God, I'm praying the man must be this, that, and the other. Okay? He must be from my tribe. He must be an architect like my father. He must be tall. Or maybe he must be short. I had someone talking about young people some time ago at campus. The ladies liked a man who could sing. Must be able to sing. Okay? And he must be in Calvary Chapel. Now, in Calvary Chapel, there are only two men who sing. Yeah? And one of the two was taken last year. Remember? They stood here. So how many are left? And of the one who is left, he's not an architect. He's not short and he's not of your tribe. So what is God supposed to do with your list? You see, God is omnipotent, but the problem is what? With your prayer and your list. Sometimes we don't get an answer because, as the Bible says, we ask amiss. Tribe is not important in the eyes of God. When we are born again, we must leave that behind us. Race is not important in the sight of, these are things of men. In heaven, we are told there will be people of every tribe and nation, every kindred. Okay? Maybe you are doing this because your father has told you, I don't want you to bring here somebody from tribe X. You have seen these things. And a girl gets stuck. Okay? Your father had his life. This is your life. This is your inheritance. Okay? Because I've seen some things like this. The God calls us to wisdom. So 2018 may be the time when you set aside all that and align your expectations more with what God. You know, God also doesn't allow you. In marriage, you marry by faith. You know, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by. So you marry by faith and not by. And not by sight. You understand? No, you marry by faith. That's really it. You say, God, this is the person. They are born again. That's the minimum criteria. They are born again, and if it's a man, the man should be doing something. You saw the model in Genesis. Adam had something to do. Adam had where to live. So with that, by faith, you go and marry. God doesn't give you the time to test. No, God, let me first test this person. I check. We live together for some years. That is sin. Okay? Let it not be part of our church. Okay? So we marry by faith. But then also God calls us to excellence. God is calling us to excellence. Okay? God is calling us to excellence. Let us read Exodus chapter 31. Verses 1 to 7. Exodus 31, verses 1 to 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by my name, who? There was a man called who? Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Exodus 31, verses 1 to 7. Verse 3. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of what? Workmanship. To devise cunning works in gold, in silver, in brass, in cutting stone, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that were wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. The tabernacle of the congregation, the ark of the testimony, the mercy seat, and all the furniture of the tabernacle. There was a work to be done, physical work. God is giving directions for the tabernacle, where worship would take place and so on. And God gave very specific instructions. If you're reading the books which cover that subject, sometimes God is so specific, and it must be this curtain of this color, of this. So work had to be done. So Moses, who is in charge of the work, gets a call from God, and God tells him about who? Bezalel. In 2018, is God going to tell somebody about you? Okay? Because in this life, think about it. And if you read the book of Proverbs, Solomon writes about this theme. Okay? Let's read that and before we get the key message. Proverbs 22 and verse 29. Proverbs 22:29 says, see a man what? Diligent in his business, he shall stand before. Proverbs 22:29. See thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mean or unknown men. Okay? What is the quality there? Diligence, hard work. Then Proverbs 18, verse 16, it says there, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before what? Great men. We saw last Sunday, God has given each of us a gift or a talent. What are we doing with it? Because in State House, think about it. Any president, a leader, wakes up in the morning. He has a sink, he brush teeth. You are a plumber. In State House, the sink has been leaking, leaking, leaking. They call this contractor, call that contractor. At some point, the leader says, no, I am tired of this. Can you find me somebody who can do this? I have seen this. I see it in the corporate world. Then MD is looking for somebody. They have advertised, advertised, advertised. They failed to get somebody. Maybe all they want is honesty. All they want is somebody who will be diligent at the work. God has put that in every one of us here. So that he makes life a level playing field. It is not, when you read about Bezalel, ask yourself, in which part of Kampala would Bezalel be working? In Katwe. Bezalel would be working in Katwe. And that's where they are going to pick him and take him to State House. So we must not look down on any trade, anything that people do under the earth. Huh? But this is real. I bought one day a carpet. You know, B-plus here on Ginger Road. And a man came to lay it where I was staying. Now, as he was laying the carpet, Pastor Zeddy, he was laying the carpet. Not like this. He laid it properly. That man told me, you know, he even had a gadget. You know, they kick it with the knee to make the carpet to move any. So as we were discussing, he said, you know, I have even been to, he mentioned either State House or the president's home. And maybe either it was Uganda or Rwanda. He said that he had been there laying carpets. That was his skill. And if he does it well in State House, the president will tell someone else. You get it? So sometimes as Christians, we complicate our problems. You sit on the gift. You don't work hard. The opportunity comes. You say, no, 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 I don't want to work in State House. No, 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 I didn't even vote for the government. No. That is not wisdom. If that call comes, go. Okay? Go. That may be the opportunity God gives you to speak to the leader of your country. That is it. The problem is that many times leaders are surrounded with people who tell them what they think they want the leader to hear. And there's a time when the leader wants to hear the truth about a certain matter. Okay? So anyhow, that is the lesson about Bezalel. Okay? And in the time of Solomon, Solomon had to build a temple. And you see the temple was built to a very, very high standard. Okay? And people had to be found who would do that kind of work. Okay? And do it honestly. So, as we close, looking at 2018, what should we do? What should we do as we prepare ourselves for what God has for us, as we prepare ourselves for another step towards our promised land? We need really to have a closer walk with God. Okay? A commitment to humility, a commitment to holiness, a commitment to righteousness. 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. What is the problem there? Pride. And pray and seek my face. What is the problem there? They are not praying. Someone shared with me some time ago that we have a prayer service on Thursday, but hardly anyone is coming. That is a challenge to me and should be a challenge to all of us. We need to pray for our church. Okay? We need to pray for the church. This is not an administrative unit doing good things. It is first and foremost a spiritual creation of God. I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. We must be part of that process. Okay? And what's the other problem? They needed to also turn from their wicked ways. There was a problem of sin. But if we deal with those three things, the pride, the prayerlessness, and the sin, then God will do what? I will hear from heaven, I will forgive the sin, and I will heal the land. What is land sick? What is he talking about healing the land? But it is the meaning is that the land, the things that people are doing, are not yielding fruit. The land is cursed. You are planting, it's not yielding. Is that where we might be? And if so, what is the problem? Is it pride? Is it sin? Is it prayerlessness? Okay? So let's seek in 2018 a closer walk with God, closer commitment to God. Let's also seek to understand God's calling on our lives. That will take prayer. What is God calling you to do or to move from in 2018? That's a personal thing. Let's get to know God more through the Word. Let's be people who read the Bible. Okay? Read the Bible and we know it from, it's a daily thing. At least one chapter a day. That's what I was taught as a young Christian. That is a good principle to live by. It's not a rule we are creating for you, but we need to know the Word of God. We really need it. Because it's that is where we will know God. That's where we'll really get to know God from. We must also be able to fight lack of faith and fear. Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let us in 2018 have a renewed mind. Let's leave the Egyptian mentality. Let's rather go back to Egypt. At least in Egypt there was this, there was that. Let's move away from that. God created you to be free. Freedom from bondage so that you achieve what he created you to be. But once you are in any form of bondage, spiritual or bondage at your workplace, you are suppressed. The God in you cannot come out to what it's supposed to be to bless people around you. Is it the year to break away from a relationship? Maybe there's a relationship you are in which is not right. Okay? Are you planning to marry the unbeliever? Many young Christian girls have this challenge. Oh, but he's good. Oh, but he comes from a good family. But he's a Muslim. Or a brother who presents himself as being saved and then 1 month into the marriage is not coming to church. And we begin a lifetime of problems. Okay? Or you have got into someone else's marriage. You got in there, you were not saved, now you are saved, what do you need to do? Get out. But all in all, we need also to keep our eyes on the prize. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain the prize. Okay? It is a race. It is a long race, a long journey God has given you from today until the time that you meet God. A long race. We must keep focused on the prize. The ultimate prize we have is what? Heaven. It's not these things on earth. It is heaven meeting Christ and him telling each of us, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into. And the last thing maybe we must guard against is what? giving up. Okay? 2018, don't give up. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good thing, good work in you, will do what? Will perform it. God took you to a place to achieve something. Or he wants to. Don't give up. Irrespective of what people have said, the majority have said, you can't make it, you can't succeed, it's too much, quit, don't give up. You just give God 2018. Just give him this year. And trust him. Above all, remember we are more than conquerors. And God will surely come through for us. Okay, let us close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for 2018, for the year you have given us. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the truth which is in your word that we can learn from freely. Whatever it is ahead of us, God, we pray that in 2018 we will realize it and not be held back by fear, by doubt, by anxiety. By sitting on the talents you've given us, help us to set that aside and trust you for what you always promise to be. We thank you. We praise you. Give us life in this year. Give us all good life and the opportunity to meet again at the end of this year and reflect and have a testimony that indeed, God, you are true to what you have taught us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.